And now, Bright Horizon, brought to you by Swan Soap. Friends, today our hearts and our prayers are all with the boys who are landing and fighting with the Army of Liberation on the coasts of France. And so we of Bright Horizon have asked Renee Terry, the Barbara West of our program, to sing Schubert's beautiful Ave Maria as an expression of our particular prayer for their safety and speedy victory.
Swan's Bright Horizon. We're going on today as usual, friends, but remember, the CBS newsroom is standing by to bring you last-minute news, and our program will be interrupted whenever necessary. It looks like the past has turned on Michael again, doesn't it?
It certainly does, Paul. And since we weren't able to broadcast yesterday, I think we should tell our listeners that just about 5 minutes ago in Riverfield, Carol was bubbling with happiness, planning the rest of the day and evening with Michael after he'd presented her with a lovely lapel watch on their second anniversary. And Mr. Carl Willis had to pop into Michael's office and spoil the day for them by exhibiting a bronze vase that Margaret gave to Michael way back in January of 1943.
Yes, and now Willis threatens to publish a picture of it in tomorrow's Morning Light, showing the inscription, "To Michael, in memory of a promise, with love, Margaret."
Do you know, Paul, I believe our listening audience would like to have their memories refreshed about that incident.
Well, that's a good idea, Grace. So before we continue with today's story, let's take them back to a time early in January of 1943. Margaret had been working as Michael's secretary while he was in private practice, causing some trouble between Michael and his wife, Carol. It was only a short time after she and Mac were married that she came to Michael's office with a box of flowers and the bronze vase.
When I was your secretary, Michael, I saw to it that there were flowers in your office every day. Remember? So, the vase is from me to you, and the flowers the same.
This is nice of you, Margaret, but...
There's a little inscription on the vase. See? To Michael. in memory of a promise. With love, Margaret.
Margaret, in view of
the... Now, please don't say you'll be embarrassed having the vase in your office.
Don't you think it's time you started thinking of the new life ahead of you? You're married to McCary. He bought that big home on Emerald Lake for you.
Michael, please. You did make me a promise. You said if I ever needed your help, you'd give it gladly. And you said that you'd always be my friend. But when you told me that there could never be a place in your life for me, that you could never love anyone but Carol, that's when I decided to marry Charles. Someday I might tell you the whole story about our marriage. Something that will surprise you. Right now, this is all I have to say. You'll never be out of my life. Michael, I'll always love you.
Margaret, you're so wrong.
Now, don't say any more. I brought you my gift of congratulation. I've said what I wanted to say to you. And now I'm going to kiss you goodbye and run along. Michael, please don't be angry.
That was a year and a half ago. And now a former janitor at the City Hall has sold the bronze vase to Carl Willis, Michael's political enemy.
Yes, and Paul, the primaries are only a little over 2 weeks away.
Well, if Willis carries out his threat and publishes a picture of that vase showing the inscription, well, I wonder what will be the result. Now, as we continue our story, in the present, Carol is with Michael in his office. Michael has ordered Carl Willis from the office. Both he and Carol are stunned by Willis's latest threat.
Michael.
I'll have to see Jack Boyce McCary right away, Carol.
And this was to be our afternoon and evening. Just you and I. Oh, Michael.
Show, dinner, dance. On our second anniversary. I'm sorry, dear. Terribly sorry.
Oh, it's not your fault, darling. Do you think he'll have the nerve to publish a picture of that vase showing the inscription?
I have no doubt of it.
But how could he prove that it came from your office or that Margaret gave it to you?
Well, you can make it very clear by implication, Carol. Doesn't have to mention last names. And, too, it's more than possible he has the proof.
Is there any way that you can stop the Morning Light from printing it?
Huh. You heard Willis's suggestion. If I stop running for governor, he won't print it.
Oh, remember, Michael. We said that no matter what happens, you'll see it through. And I'll stand by you.
Won't be too easy for you.
I don't mind. Darling, I was just thinking. It really isn't necessary that you see Jack Boyce and Charles.
I don't understand it.
There's nothing they can do to stop Carl Willis from putting the picture in tomorrow's paper.
Oh, that's true.
Let's just tell them over the phone and leave right away. Darling, we're not afraid to face any consequences. We've promised ourselves. Look, I say that we should go through with our plans and have the day and evening together just as we outlined it. What do you say?
I say you're wonderful. So you telephone Ethel May and tell her not to expect us for dinner. Tell her to inform the family that we'll not be home until late tonight. What are we waiting for?
Barbara West is sitting at her Uncle Michael's desk in the library when the telephone rings and...
Hello, West Residence.
Barbara, this is Carol.
Oh, Aunt Carol, I've been wondering where you were.
I'm with Michael at his office, dear. Look, darling, we're not coming home for dinner.
Oh? Well, where are you going?
Oh, lots of places. This is our afternoon and evening out. You explain to Ethel May, will you please?
All right. Oh, Aunt Carol.
Yes?
Do you mind if I have a little dinner party for June and Ted and Bing?
You make any arrangement you want, darling. And have fun. We're going to.
Oh, I'm glad. And thank you ever so much.
We'll be home quite late.
That's all right. You both have my permission. Have a good time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Gee. 3-9-9-J.
¶¶ spite of Barbara's pleading that they have dinner with the young people, Carol's dad, Jeff Bates, and her father, Brian, both decided against it, allowing the two young ladies and the two merchant marine heroes to have a private dinner party. Jeff went to town for dinner and a movie, and Brian invited himself to Adeline Allison's. Now it is nearing 10 o'clock, and the four are dancing to the music from the radio.
That's over.
Me too.
That was fun, Ted.
Oh, it certainly was for me.
Oh, Ted.
Huh?
I'd like to go outside on the porch for a while.
Okay, June, I'm here to please. Dream on, you two.
Oh, this is more like it, Barbs. Do you want to sit this one out?
No, Bing. I'd rather dance.
So would I. Because I can hold you in my arms. Like this. Oh, it's wonderful.
Darling.
Hey, when you whisper in my ear like that, it tickles. Oh. Do it again.
Darling.
Oh, gee. This is like dancing a foot deep in rose petals. Mm. I'm dazed.
Your hair smells nice, Bing. What did you put on it?
Huh? Oh, hair tonic.
Oh.
Yeah, but how about you? You smell...
Oh.
Well, I mean, your hair made me think of the rose petals a minute ago.
Know something?
No. Tell me.
I'm going to be awfully proud of you tomorrow when you and Ted talk to the students at Riverfield High during assembly.
And, do you know something?
Tell me.
Both Ted and me are scared stiff about it.
But you won't be after you start talking.
I ain't so sure about that. Shall we go out on the porch?
Well, let's give June and Ted a chance to talk by themselves. I'm about to dance once more and then go outside.
I just don't understand you, Ted.
Oh, isn't that, June? I'm easy enough to understand, but... Well, it's just that I like you a lot. And I'm sorry I do.
Well, why are you sorry?
Well, because I don't want to get like Bing is over Barbara. That's one reason.
What are the other reasons?
Look, June. You're a guy's dream, see? I mean... You're beautiful. You've got everything. But what do I mean to you?
Why, I think you're one of the nicest boys I've ever known, Ted. I mean that honestly.
This has just been a little vacation for you, Peaches.
That's not at all fair of you.
Okay, maybe it wasn't. Maybe I better make it plain, huh? You're Governor Broderick's niece. Your father's a big man. What am I?
I'm very proud to have you for a friend. But, Ted...
Huh?
Is there another reason why you and I can't be good friends?
Yes, there is. But I can't tell you, June. Please, let's let it go at that, huh?
Is there a clock near you, on the wall, perhaps? Well, remember this. With every tick of that clock, someone is fighting for you. Yes, on the beachheads of France, men are fighting for you, fighting your battles, fighting to make the world safe for you. You know, it's your duty to help in this great common struggle. Well, the least you can do is help make America's fifth war loan drive a success. Buy all the bonds you possibly can, and don't stop to measure your sacrifice. Don't say, I can do just this and no more. Those men who fight for you are not weighing out their blood bit by bit. They have no limit to their sacrifice. They don't say, we can't afford to die. Don't you say, you can't afford to buy. You must buy bonds, more bonds than you think you can afford. Because the money you put into bonds is needed desperately to help win this war. And remember, you're not giving your money, you're lending it. So buy those bonds. Back the attack. Buy more bonds than before. Back up our men on the tough road to victory.
By Ted Maxwell, Bright Horizon is brought to you by the makers of Swan, the soap that's pure as fine Castiles. That's Swan, S-W-A-N, Swan soap. Everybody, get an earful of melody and fun on Frank Sinatra's own...